And all God's people said, Amen. This morning we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to extend a warm welcome to you and invite you. If you'd like to know more about our church or allow us to know more about you, please fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We also want to remind you that our Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow. We want to let you know that registration is still open. We'll be open actually each and every night. So even if you can't make it, or if your neighbor or grandchildren or children can't make it to the first night or to any particular night, come as much as you can. And please be in prayer this week. If you're not helping or serving in any way, you can still pray for our Vacation Bible School to be a success and that our children will encounter the living God and experience His mercy and grace. Today, as we worship, I want you to begin to, even now, as we've been invited by the call to worship, we've been invited by the greeting and invitation to worship, to realize that the Spirit of God is in this place.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 25, reading verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. O God, we trust totally in you as we trust in no other. You are the creator of all things, and our life depends on you moment by moment. You give us breath, and we respond with songs of praise and hymns of adoration. You give us truth, and we teach others your word and try to model your ways. You give us eternal life, and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with all who will listen. You fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we love others as you have loved us. You call us your friends, and we seek to be friends with the friendless. In all things, we completely depend upon you, and do not rest secure in our own strength or wisdom. Father God, draw us closer to you this day in this place. Enable us to live more faithfully as followers of you and followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would, join us in singing our opening hymn, our hymn of praise, number 3, Worthy of Worship. Please stand, if able.
Thank you.
this morning for our ministry highlight, I wanted to recognize an opportunity that sits in front of us every single Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning we have Sunday school. It begins at 9:45. We have classes for our children, for our youth, for our adults, for every age group. And one of our groups is in need of one or two more teachers. You'll notice in just a few moments when I call our children forward to come for our children's sermon, you are getting to experience some of the joy that you can have on Sunday mornings during Sunday school. And we are in need of two new children's Sunday school teachers. If you are interested, you can talk to Michael Allred, who is head of our Sunday school department, or you can talk to Mason or myself, and we can give you more information about this. But our children teachers, they're on a rotated basis. They're not in the classroom every Sunday. But it gives an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, to share your faith and your life story with our children. So, if you are interested, we are, seeking two individuals who might be willing to teach children's Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It'll begin in September with our new church year. So, if you're interested, please speak to either myself, Mason, or Michael Allred. Now, at this time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. And again, the joy that we have on Sunday morning is what you get to experience every Sunday morning with children's Sunday school. So, come on up, guys. Good morning. Just think how they are at 9:45. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing this morning? Good? You're here, right? Beautiful sunny day. Plans to be outside this afternoon after church is over? Hopefully, I don't know. Probably it's a good day to be outside. Well, I have a question for you, and I need to be 100% honest when I ask this question, okay? Can you do that? 100% honest? Are either one of you perfect? If you are, raise your hand. Let's turn on all these people who are laughing at me.
Let us pray together. God, you are so good. Your word is absolute truth, and you have blessed each one of us more than we can even thank you for. Now, Father, as we bring just a portion of the many blessings you've given each of us, we pray that you find favor of the gift and the giver. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
this morning in the hallways, and as I've greeted people and connected with people, some have asked, what's wrong? You can see it on my face, but the truth is I can see it on your faces too, that there is something wrong. I think the word sadness comes to my mind when I think about your faces and mine on a day like this, after a week like this. Many of us are filled with fear and anxiety, frustration, anger, and worry. Let me ask you this morning, just to open the floor in a word or in a few words, what are you afraid of? What's troubling you this morning? What are you worried about today?
Hatred.
Violence. What else? Brothers.
Uncertainty.
Division. There's a lot of that.
Government corruption.
Corruption. You know, when we think about a week like this, the sermon I prepared doesn't really make any sense anymore. It was a nice, prettily packaged sermon about doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. But it seems like what is right in the eyes of the Lord, or obedience, has a different dimension or a different dynamic. And in the light of all that's happened this week, I think about this sermon that was planned and prepared and a worship service that was orchestrated before the series of events that we have witnessed in this week. And yet at the same time, as I've listened to the music that we've sung together, I think it's a sermon that God orchestrated long ago for such a time as this, for a moment like this. When we turn on the news, what do you see? You see bad news. And it almost seems like the media thrives off of it. Like, I think they maybe are part of the problem. Amen? And our politicians are no better, taking full advantage of tragedy. And you look around in the world and you say, where is the good? Where is the hope? I posted on Twitter and on Facebook, I know a lot of you are on there, right? This question, what is the dominant narrative of our time? You know, when historians look back over periods of time, they often can summarize it, much like we do at a funeral over a person's life. What is the dominant narrative? Is it one of hate? Is it one of division? Is it one of anger and uncertainty? And the responses I got back were very telling. Many people said there is hate. They're afraid of ISIS. They're afraid of Islam. They're afraid of people of other colors. Or more often I hear the fear is about culture and economics. But time and time again, the words that kept being woven through their statements of fear and anger and hate and division was a longing for hope. I think that's the real narrative, isn't it? That we are in search of hope. Looking wherever we can look, under every rock, to try to find a little bit of hope. People ask me sometimes when they come into my office, I have this. Does anybody know what this is? Any Catholics or former Catholics in the room? This is a rosary. And people say, what is a Baptist minister doing with a rosary? Well, it doesn't mean that to me at all. When I was first married, Kim and I were living in this ghetto of a house that was just filthy and nasty, and we were poor as dirt, and maybe dirt had a little more money than we had. And there was a lot of things that we were afraid of, overwhelming life issues. How are you going to pay the bills? Where are you going to find food? Where am I going to work? I was unemployed and in seminary. Bad combination. And in this house that we were living in, we were living there for very, very low rent because we were asked to clean it out, to clean it up. I was just talking about this morning with someone. And it's all this trash filled the house. It's a lot like our world today, full of trash, full of junk
that smells, it stinks, and it's awful, and it's dirty, and you don't even want to touch it. And there in a heap of garbage was this. And like I said, for me, it's not a rosary, but it's a symbol of hope. You know, in all that garbage and all that trash and all that smelly stuff that we don't even want to touch, Jesus is there. He's in it. So it occurred to me today, what we need is hope. And hope comes, I think, through prayer and dialogue, through hearing each other and hearing God. A passage that I was reminded of this week by several people is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I think the first acknowledgement with this scripture is that it's not a call to patriotism, it's a call to confession that we're sinful people. We're self-centered, and that drives a lot of the division and the hate. But God says, if you humble yourself, if you pray, if you seek my face, there's a promise here. I will heal your land. This past Thursday in Praise and Prayer, we were wrestling together through a sermon from Charles Spurgeon, and his text was from Habakkuk. It says, O Lord, revive thy work. That's what we're praying for, that God will revive the work he did through Moses, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, the work he did in creation of forming something from nothing. And we got a whole lot of nothing. And we want a whole lot of creation. And Spurgeon said that the first step is not to go out there and do anything. It's not to go out there and say, I'm going to make a resolution that I'm going to do this and that. He said, no, first we have to groan for renewal. How much groaning are we doing? So what I want to invite us to do today, instead of a long sermon, you got the short sermon, is to have a time of prayer. Amen. At the funeral services and at many prayer services, we light a single white candle. It's a sign of the resurrection, the light of Christ, the hope of the gospel, the promise of the resurrection. Resurrection. Bringing something that was dead back to life. And so we light this candle in the service today as a sign that we now move from worship to prayer. And we do so in the light of Christ. I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to lead us through a time of prayer and also a time of discussion or dialogue, where I think that one of the worst things in the world is to feel like you have something to say and nowhere to say it. And if we can't talk to each other here, we can't talk. So, through this time of prayer, there will be scripture, there will be silence, and there will be opportunities for you to pray aloud and silently as well. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and begin by simply surrendering to God anything that's sinful in your life? Let's begin with confession as we seek His grace and mercy together. Please pray silently. O Lord, we have confessed our feebleness and our folly before you. Heal us. Heal us first before you heal our land. Cleanse us, renew us, and restore us. O Lord, we hear the promise and the words of the psalmist Psalm 145, 17, 18, and 19. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. I want to invite you to open your eyes and to stare at the Christ candle. It's just a candle, but it is a powerful symbol of light. And Christ is the light of the world. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The longer you stare at the light, the more it captures your vision, your sight, your attention. That's what Christ wants to do for us today. I want to invite you to pray with me the Christ mercy prayer. If you'll repeat after me, Jesus Christ, Son of God,
have mercy on me.
The church fathers would pray this prayer over and over again until it consumed their full attention. I want to invite you to pray this prayer through with me a few more times together in unison. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Amen. If you'll take out a hymnal and turn to hymn number 244. The song simply is a prayer sung saying, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let's sing that together. Once more without the piano.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Open the floor now and invite you, if you have a prayer to offer out loud, would you do so now?
Heavenly Father, we just welcome the Holy Spirit to come.
There is a psalm of encouragement in Psalm 16, verses 1 through 9. It says, "The plans of the mind belong to mortals, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All one's ways may be pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. All those who are arrogant are an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, they will not go unpunished. But loyalty and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. When the ways of people please the Lord, he causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Better is a little with righteousness than large income with injustice. The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps." In short, God is in control. God is on the throne. That's hope and encouragement. We want to open the floor for the body of Christ. We are called to encourage one another. And so there'll just be the microphones here on either side. If you have a word of encouragement, a word of hope to share, or how you are finding hope in these troubled times, we're not inviting you to make any political statements or to comment on anybody else, but to offer words of encouragement and hope to one another in this place.
Father and Savior tells us to love one another as he loved us. And who is our neighbor? Is it just all of y'all? Or is it anybody that we come in contact with? And Father, help us to do this during these hard times, because you are our only hope. I love you guys.
This past week has been particularly troubling for me, and I woke up to see the news in Dallas as my profession. Really wearing it real heavy this whole week and even today still. You talk about hope, Mason. The hope is found in God's Word. God promised us, Jesus promised us in the Gospels, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He is still on the throne, and that's where I find my hope, by turning back to God's Word and to hit my knees and to say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that God is still in control. And he has never, ever made a promise he didn't keep. Ever. I've known some fine people in my life, but they all made mistakes and didn't keep the words that they promised because of just their human beings, their flesh. But God has never not kept a promise. And his promise to us is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's where I find my hope, that God is on his throne. He's in control. Even when I don't understand a thing, God has still got it. And that's where I find my hope.
I find hope in the generations that are to come. I find hope in the generations that I stood in front of this morning before Sunday school with our teenagers. I find hope in on the threshold of an event that our church is holding this week as we seek to reach out to the young. That's hope. We are called to instill these individuals, these children, these teenagers with love. The news is not giving that to us. That's our job. That's where my hope is. So I encourage you, and I encourage you, if you have not signed up to come to Vacation Bible School, don't sign up. Just come. Experience and share the love and grace and mercy. That's where I find hope.
Anybody else? Here's a word of encouragement and hope from the Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O people of God, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is He who will redeem His people from all injustice. Let's pray. God, thank You for the hope You give. In the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you, if you're able, to stand again as we sing our hymn of response. We're actually going to sing Amazing Grace, the first and last verse of that hymn. It seems like more than anything, we need to remind ourselves that God is a God of grace. Would you please stand? It's number 330 in your hymnals.
Verse.